Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. We have a busy docket. Maybe I'll do a little commentary on something that's just a little disturbing to me. But what do we have on the docket today? Actually, we're going to have a hearing in the Chad Daybell matter. That's right, an actual hearing. Barry Morphew's alleged new girlfriend gets arrested. Wait till you find out where she was. A Gabby Petito update. Is the dog moving in? And is there, in fact, a burner phone? An update on the Moab homicide cases. And then we have the greater dollar amounts alleged in the misdeeds of Alex Murdoch. Another alleged sex abuse case. Wait till you hear this. And then finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. You've heard that people always return to the crime scene. Sometimes they never leave. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. The channel where a practicing criminal defense attorney explains the facts, the procedure, and the law to cold cases and current true crime cases. Welcome. Now, if you haven't done so, please hit the subscribe button, hit the thumbs up, hit that bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live. And as always, leave me a comment below about what you think about the cases that we discussed today. Don't forget, you can listen to this show and past shows by downloading Crime Talk on all of your favorite podcasting apps like Apple and Spotify. All right, before we get to the docket, I want to talk about something that maybe people have seen. YouTube is banning channels that are talking about things, and we're not going to even mention it because, well, maybe we don't want to get banned, right? Well, they're banning certain channels if people don't do certain things that the government wants to be done. Now, let's just understand where I am coming from, all right? I got COVID last November, knocked me on my butt for 2 weeks. I have never been so sick in my life. And when I could get the vaccine, I got the vaccine. I got both shots. And I will probably get a booster as well. Not because I have some great hope, but I just don't want to get sick, or if I'm going to get sick, I would like to minimize it as much as possible. Why? Because I have somebody in my office that had both shots and got sick, like go to the hospital on oxygen type of sick. So I really don't want that to happen to me. But one thing that has always made America great is that we have individual liberty, and we have individual liberty whereby we can do things that not everybody agrees with, all right? What is the old classic saying? I don't like what you're saying, but I defend your right to say it absolutely, okay? If there are people that want to put out ideas, you know what? The people that think their idea is right should not be banning the other one's ideas. They should be presenting facts, data, statistics, being completely forthright, open, and honest so that people will be convinced that they truly are correct. But when you just simply say, we're not going to let the other side speak, even no matter how ridiculous you think it may be, and guess what? There may be some legitimate points. We don't know, particularly if we shut them down. Frankly, I understand Google can do what they want. They are a private company, but I think it just completely goes against everything that we as Americans stand for, and it goes against everything that Google started about. Google started because they wanted to open up the world to everybody. Remember, they wanted to scan every book so every book would be available online? And then, of course, they got into copyright trouble. But that's a different story. The point is they wanted it to be an uninhibited arena of ideas. And when you start telling people that you just can't participate in the arena of ideas, that's a scary, scary time, ladies and gentlemen. So even though I know a lot of people are making up a lot of crazy stuff, guess what? People create lots of crazy stuff all the time. First ones that come to mind are, you know, the flat earthers, right? I think most people would agree that the earth is not flat, but yet what happens? There's still people out there that believe it. We've even had people crazy enough to shoot themselves up into rockets so that they could prove that the earth was flat, and they died from it. But we didn't stop them from doing that. Sometimes you just gotta let them do it. But to ban people, I just have a real problem with that. Let all of the ideas participate and compete in the arena of ideas, and we will see which one prevails. But to just ban the other side because you think they're wrong, boy, I hope Google, their president over there, takes a look at that and says, we can't believe that we're engaging in some such conduct. I mean, this is truly, truly scary. And if it doesn't scare the hell out of just about everyone, because when's it going to stop? What's the next subject going to be? You don't agree with one political side, so the other side's going to be completely banned? Gee, where have we ever seen stuff like that happen before? It's a slippery slope, ladies and gentlemen. If you stand up for it and you allow it to take place, they're coming for you. They're coming for you next. And it's great when it's your idea, but what if they start banning the ideas that you think are correct? Think about it. Hopefully makes you think about it. All right, let's get to the DACA today. Chad Daybell. That's right. We are actually going to have a hearing. A hearing has now been set for October 6th of 2021, and we are actually going to have a motion for change of venue. Now, this will take place via video, so we should be able to bring it to you live. So we're going to put that up on the old magic whiteboard over there and make sure we don't forget to do that. Now, this is finally be a significant hearing because we're actually going to find out what jurisdiction is ultimately going to hear the case of Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell, assuming Lori Vallow becomes competent in the near future. But if not, it may be Chad Daybell sitting there by himself. So October 6th is the date. We will bring it to you. Unless something changes, we're going to bring it to you. And there should be evidence presented about the general feelings in the town right there in Idaho. It's going to be interesting. And finally, something of substance is going to take place because most of the hearings have been hearings to disqualify the district attorney that went nowhere, and a lot of scheduling hearings to schedule some more scheduling hearings. So finally, something is going to take place. All right, moving on. That's right, the Barry Morphew matter. The things are getting more bizarre as we speak. So there's a woman by the name of Shoshona Darkey, and hopefully I'm pronouncing that name correctly. Anyway, this woman was accused of having a relationship with Barry Morphew, and she's been arrested for trespassing. Now, Darkey was arrested Tuesday, September 28th, for trespassing at Morphew's former home in Maysville on Monday, September 27th. Investigators reviewed several different home security recordings and verified the information provided by the homeowner. Now, according to the arrest affidavit, Darkey was photographed on surveillance video walking on foot down the driveway at 3:46 p.m. The homeowners did not give permission for Morphew or Darkey to enter the property and wished to pursue charges against Darkey. At 3:47 p.m., Darkey is seen on the video carrying what appears to be a package, some sort of box, under her left arm. Now, Shoshone's arrest affidavit, according to the Chaffee County Sheriff's Office, depending on how you pronounce it, Darkey removed a package from the front porch where there was a no trespassing sign. An arrest warrant issued on Tuesday, and she was taken into custody in Maysville without incident the same day. The police moved fast on porch pirates out there in Chaffee County, that's for sure. Now, Darkey is charged with second-degree criminal trespass. That's a Class 3 misdemeanor. That's the lowest misdemeanor here in the state of Colorado and carries up to a six-month jail sentence and a $500 fine. And her bond has been set at $500. She apparently asked for the public defender, but she didn't qualify because she basically has a job. And but even though she claims she can't work, she apparently has some property. Otherwise, she would qualify. Apparently, she hurt her neck in a car accident and earns a slight veteran disability payment of $1,800 per month. So Ms. Darkey says that she is going to obtain legal counsel, private legal counsel. And she is to stay away while the case is pending, because there's a protection order in place, stay away from the Maysville home, including the surrounding property. And Darkey is ordered by the court not to have contact with the current homeowners. Now, that's a little weird, don't you think? I mean, maybe this was a package for Barry Morphew at the old residence and she just went by to pick it up. Well, then she would probably have a legitimate reason to do so. However, if she was being a porch pirate, that's very odd. The question then becomes, was Barry Morphew with her? And, you know, we know he can't leave Chaffee or Chaffee County, and therefore, was he helping her in some way? Anyway, Ms. Darkey had a bond hearing. Like we said, her bond was set at $500, and Judge Patrick Murphy, the same judge that provides over Barry Morphew's case, set the bond and heard the issues, and that she's expected to be back in court in a couple of weeks. Now, according to the arrest affidavit, on December 16th, a Chaffee County Sheriff's deputy received a tip from a woman who wanted to remain anonymous that Darkey was intimately involved in a relationship with Morphew. Small town. Darkey denied having a romantic relationship with Morphew the following day when asked by deputies. However, a poll camera, that's right, it's a poll camera, that's they put up outside somebody's home when they're surveilling somebody. The poll camera installed by the FBI near Darkey's home from December of 2020 through April 21 captured images of Morphew's truck consistently coming and going, sometimes staying through the night. Darkey later said she met Morphew in October of 2020 at the dumpster near the Maysville home. Perhaps someone was not completely honest. Now, in the December 17th interview with investigators, Darkey said she did not know Suzanne Morphew, and Suzanne, she's my age apparently, she has a lot of people say I resemble her. Suzanne is the missing woman, obviously the wife of Barry Morphew, who disappeared on Mother's Day in 2020. Now, in addition, on February 12th of 2021, Darkey and Morphew checked into the Antlers Hotel in Colorado Springs with Morphew carrying her luggage and Darkey holding a bouquet of flowers. So it would appear as maybe Ms. Darkey was not being completely truthful and honest with the investigators about their relationship. Which means, well, maybe Barry Morphew was also not being completely honest about his relationship. Just something to think about, ladies and gentlemen. All right, next, an update on the Gabby Petito matter. Is the dog moving in? Is there a burner phone? Let's talk about it. All right, according to the Laundrie's family attorney, Stephen Bertolino, they did purchase a new phone, and he believes it's the one Brian left behind at the home, and the FBI is already in possession of that phone. The feds are on a hunt for a burner phone that Brian Laundrie allegedly purchased the day he went missing. Dun, dun, dun. That's right. Did he have a burner phone? Well, they would know if they turned it on and the FBI would be able to ping it. Now, I'm not sure Frank is going to be able to recreate it, but the Sarasota, Florida helicopter is going round and round in circles in a particular area. Are they closing in? I don't know. We will see. And I'll have to apologize if Dog the Bounty Hunter is the one that gets him, because frankly, I think he may just be in the way. But I said, if he finds Brian Laundrie, I will publicly say, I'm sorry. Now, sources connected with the manhunt for Laundrie tell FBI agents recently visited an AT&T store in Northport, Florida, where Laundrie parents live, and seized surveillance footage. See, I told you, ladies and gentlemen, they always go back and look for the surveillance footage. How did they know that they'd purchased a phone there? I'm telling you, if it begins with an E, like email or electronics, it really means one thing. That's called evidence. They just need a little time finding it, but they can track you down anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Just saying. So we're told Brian allegedly went to the store on September 14th with an older woman and purchased the phone before they left. The timing is significant because on September 14th is the date that Laundrie's parents claimed that they last saw him leaving their home. Now, they say he had his backpack and was going to a nearby nature preserve, but never returned. They reported him missing, the family did, on September 17th. Now, public documents from the Pinellas County, Florida, indicate that the alleged fugitive, Brian Laundrie's mother, Roberta Laundrie, checked into a Fort DeSoto campsite in September. Now, Mrs. Laundrie checked into site 001-Waterfront between September 6th and September 8th. The document didn't indicate who was with her. Now, a lawyer for the Laundrie family, once again, Stephen Bertolino, said that the family, including Brian Laundrie and his father, went camping from September 6th and left the campsite together. Now, this contradicts what other people are saying. We'll just say somebody that maybe has a very poor haircut and says that the camper left with only two people. We'll have to wait and see. Laundrie is still on the run, and his parents insist they have absolutely no idea where he is. They told police that Laundrie went to the reserve and never returned. Now, once again, ladies and gentlemen, if your family member was missing, wouldn't you be out there every day helping the police hunt? Only thing I've seen the Laundrie family doing is getting a lot of food ordered in and taking a little bit of a jaunt for errands or what have you. But they're not out there searching. It's almost like they don't care, or they know he's not going to be found. Just something to think about. All right. Now, there have been a lot of sightings relating to Brian Laundrie in the past few weeks. So here's a quick breakdown of all of those. All right. First, John Walsh, host of In Pursuit with John Walsh, said that Brian Laundrie has had three times more tips called in than any other fugitive. The most common places these tips have come from are Mexico, the Bahamas, and the Appalachian Trail. Now, tweets from the daughter of reality TV star Dwayne Chapman, otherwise known as Dog the Bounty Hunter, who has joined in for the search for Laundrie, also said investigators are looking into the possibility that Brian Laundrie is on the Appalachian Trail in North Carolina. There's also been several reported sightings of Laundrie in Watauga County in North Carolina. Now, Dog the Bounty Hunter said on Monday that he believes Laundrie may have been hiding in Fort DeSoto Park in Pinellas County, Florida, with assistance from his parents, claiming that the surveillance video, which we already talked about, was there, where three people came in on the 6th and two people left on the 8th. And as we said, the Laundrie's attorney said that's not the case. They went camping and they all returned together. There's also been multiple claims and posts on social media that Brian Laundrie may have been spotted in Alabama, despite him having no connection to that state. Tips have varied from the suspect hitchhiking or walking down the street in Wilmer, and that he turns his head every time a car passes. There was an image posted on Facebook by a Florida man by the name of Sam Bass, who suggested that he may have captured Laundrie in one of his trail cams walking through the wooded area wearing a backpack in Okaloosa County. However, the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office confirmed on September 21 that the man in the image was not Laundrie. One woman posted a video on TikTok suggesting she saw a man who looked like Laundrie at a hotel in Canada, Toronto, Canada to be exact, on September 20th. That TikTok went viral, and the woman claimed she saw Laundrie get into a car with someone else, but the account has since been deleted. Another potential sighting of Laundrie was reported close to his parents' home in Northport, Florida on September 17th by a guy by the name of Zachary Randazzo. He took a cell phone image of a man who looked like Laundrie walking down the street listening to music. However, the Northport Police Department verified that this was not the man because the man in the photo has a tattoo on his left arm and Laundrie does not. Then we have Hunter Mannies, who said he saw the man who looked like Laundrie wearing a Bullwinkle's saloon shirt in West Yellowstone on August 26th. He was just kind of seemed he was mad at the world, according to Mr. Mannies. We talked about that yesterday. A lot of information on old Brian Laundrie. You almost hope he gets caught so that we can begin on the court proceedings, assuming they find him and take him alive, if he hasn't hurt himself already. All right, one more thing. A search and rescue team in Wyoming has credited the intense coverage of the Gabby Petito case with helping to bring the search for another missing person to an end. Robert Lowry, a 46-year-old dad of two, was last spotted on August 20th holding a black duffel bag and a tent in the Teton National Forest, the same location where Petito's remains were discovered earlier this month. Well, the Teton County Search and Rescue confirmed in a statement on Tuesday that a body matching Lowry's description had been recovered. An investigation to find out what happened to Lowry has been ongoing since he vanished, but the rescue team said the new tips started to come in following the media frenzy surrounding Petito's disappearance in the exact same area. The two cases are only connected by their shared location. The team went on to say that it used the new tips to begin a fresh search this week that came to a tragic end on Tuesday afternoon when a dog team located a body and a black Nike duffel bag significantly off trail on a steep wooded slope. Volunteers spent Tuesday afternoon recovering the body from the mountainside. The cause of death for Mr. Lowry remains to be determined. All right, one thing seems clear. If the husband says we should take a trip out west, you may want to reevaluate that relationship for sure. Let's talk about the couple in Moab. Authorities in Utah have issued a rare public appeal for potential witnesses to come forward in the August murder of a couple who complained of encountering a creep shortly before they were found shot to death at a campsite near Moab. Kylene Carol Schulte and Crystal Michelle Turner were last seen leaving a bar in Moab on Saturday. Later that night, the couple, who often camped in the area, reportedly called friends to let them know that they would have to move to another campsite because of a, quote, weirdo who was camping next to them and was freaking them out. One of the women didn't show up for work on Sunday. Since then, friends and family had been trying to locate them both. Then on Wednesday, the sheriff said in a news release that the bodies of two women were found in the South Mesa area of LaSalle Loop Road. Much of the attention on the Gabby Petito case has focused on Moab, where police body cam footage and witnesses' accounts of a domestic dispute between the pair appeared to show signs of impending doom weeks before Petito was killed. Well, one of the couple's arguments also reportedly took place outside the same grocery co-op where Crystal Turner had worked. 6 weeks into the investigation, however, police are tight-lipped about any leads. In Tuesday's statement, the Grand County Sheriff's said only that it was continuing to follow up on tips received from the public that the response has benefited this office in the investigation. Now, Schulte's father, Sean Schulte, has kept up his own investigation efforts separately from the police. Over 2 weeks, he says, I probably got 30 to 35 clues, and you know, maybe only four or five of them were not really good clues, he said, noting that he passes all the tips he receives on to the sheriff's office. One recent tip reportedly involved a wedding that took place the night before the couple disappeared, just a half mile from where they were found slain. Now, Schulte is said to have obtained the guest list from the event, which contains the names of more than 100 guests, but the family says authorities have so far not responded to his offer to hand over the list. Police have not commented on whether the guest list was in their possession. The Grand County Sheriff's Office has also been quick to shut down speculation that the murders of Schulte and Beck are somehow connected to the case of Gabby Petito. Even Schulte's father conceded that so far, any links between the two cases appear to be quite flimsy. He states, we would need real clues that can identify a suspect, not you know Gabby and Brian were close to us. Bottom line. So, lot going on out there in the world, ladies and gentlemen. It is a dangerous, dangerous place. You know where it's also dangerous to be? Not just out here in the West, but down there in South Carolina. As long as Alex Murdoch is out, that's right, it's dangerous. Well, his ex-housekeeper, Gloria Satterfield, died in a reported accidental fall at the Murdoch's home in February of 2018. Afterwards, a $500,000 wrongful death claim was filed against the Murdochs on behalf of the state. The sons of the housekeeper who died on Alex Murdoch's property in 2018 asked a South Carolina court on Monday to jail the disgraced lawyer until he returns the millions of dollars he allegedly embezzled from them in an insurance scam. I'm going to go on a limb here, but I don't think Alex Murdoch has millions of dollars. I think he's broke. Now, Eric Bland, a lawyer for Gloria Satterfield's son, Tony Satterfield and Brian Harriet filed a motion requesting Murdoch's arrest, citing that state law allows for arrest in certain civil cases even when criminal charges are not involved. The late housekeeper's sons have accused Murdoch's attorney, Corey Fleming, and Hampton banker Chad Westerdorf of devising a plot in 2018 and 2019 which robbed them of their inheritance. Bland claimed that the claim was granted and the case was closed, but the sons, neither the sons nor the estate, ever received a payout. Now, court filings indicate that the sons' inheritance was $2.7 million, and an order was never filed that stated there was a total of $4.3 million in insurance proceeds that the sons never received. Apparently, they must pay those house assistants pretty good to accumulate a $2.7 million estate. Now, Bland said he believed Murdoch and his conspirators owe Gloria Satterfield's estate at least $4 million. Just another problem for Alex Murdoch, for sure. Now, this motion that was filed on Monday, the judge, Judge Carmen Mullen, signed an order in 2019 which awarded the $4.3 million to other parties and not Gloria Satterfield's son. Mullen, according to the filing, was not made aware at the time that the sons were not included in the settlement. Well, the only way they could have got away with that is if the attorneys were not being completely candid with the court. Alex Murdoch has got some big problems coming his way. Really big problems. Big, huge problems coming his way. All right. You know, now, just since the R. Kelly case, at least one of his many cases has been resolved, well, you know, there's got to be something else coming their way. That's right. A former Boston Ballet star has been accused of participating in at least five sexual assaults, attacking with her husband. That's right. According to a lawsuit filed in the United States District Court in Nevada, Mitchell Taylor Button and his wife, former Boston Ballet principal dancer Dusty Button, are accused of exploiting their position of power and influence in the dance world to sexually abuse young dancers across the country. The lawsuit was initiated by a dancer by the name of Gina Mancino and Boston's ballet Sage Humphreys. Although the initial lawsuit only named Mitchell Button as the defendant, the court documents indicate that the plaintiffs allege that Dusty Button assisted her husband with the alleged sexual assaults. It's alleged that they had control over my phone, my passwords, my Instagram, my email, and Humphreys previously told the New York Times, they had complete control over me. If I wanted to do anything, I had to ask them first. It's alleged that the abuse involved, among other things, forcefully performing oral sex and requiring it to be performed on him, the lawsuit states. Now, Jane Doe 100 also filed a lawsuit against the couple. She claims she met them in 2014 while dancing as a member of the apprentice program with the Urbani Dance. And Jane 100 said Dusty told her that her husband could make her a star and encourage the pair to meet. The victim said that she later went to a party in Boston with the couple where Dusty forced her to drink alcohol before taking her to an apartment in Somerville where Mitchell proceeded to sexually assault her. The lawsuit indicates that Dusty Button is accused of filming the sexual assault while holding a gun in her hand. Doesn't sound good. I hope they went to the police with these same allegations. Two other plaintiffs in that lawsuit alleged that they were sexually assaulted by Mitchell before they turned 18. The Button couple deny the allegations, of course, and plan to fight the allegations in court, according to their attorney, Ken Schwartz. Ladies and gentlemen, just can't make this stuff up. And it just keeps coming. I'm telling you, it's a crazy world out there. Let's take a quick recess before we get to our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Matthew Williamson, 37, was found sleeping in the press box of a sports complex surrounded by piles of stolen chicken fingers, chips, candy, and meth, according to police. The incident took place at the Pleasant Grove Athletic Complex with snacks stolen from a concession stand just days after Williamson had walked out of jail on another crime. Now, Williamson had been arrested the first time on September 17th, charged with breaking and entering a vehicle and stealing property, but he made bond and walked out of the Jefferson County Jail. Less than 2 hours after leaving jail, allegedly, Williamson stole a car and hid it in Pleasant Grove. On September 22nd, someone stole a trove of snacks after breaking into the athletic complex concession stand. Now, Williams was caught catching some shut-eye with the stolen goods and drugs the next morning, according to the police. Williams admitted to the burglaries, of course he did, and the car theft, and was transported back to the jail, where he was able to resume his naps, and they are for sure going to be uninterrupted for a while. So, Mr. Williamson, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. Why, you may ask? Well, really, Mr. Williamson, you just get out of jail, you go commit some more crime, and then you go commit some more crime, and then you sleep at the crime scene? We've heard of the old saying, the old adage that, you know, the criminal always returns to the scene of the crime, but you never left. I mean, are you just lazy or are you just stupid, Mr. Williamson? I'm not exactly sure, but either way, you're going to be dumb if our viewers say you are. And ultimately, you are a contestant for the Dumb Criminal Contestant Winner of the Week. And if you do so, you have a chance to win some Crime Talk swag. All right. It was a long show today. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.